Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready?
Imhotep, greetings. Welcome to the Care of the Read Room. You have your Omiika 7 in the house, live coming to you straight from my living room. I'm the advocate you want and the advisor you need. Thank you for joining me this evening. And to all of my old friends, I say Habari Ghani, what's up? And to those newcomers, I say Jim Hotel, welcome. Thank you for joining me this evening. We have a special segment planned for you. This is the 10 sets of wrongs that will prevent resurrection of the God within you, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that you are going to be wondering just what are those 10 sets of wrongs that we could do. But we are going to get in that topic in just a little bit. But first, let me go over and rehash a few things that we've talked about so far. You know that we're gods, right? You know that we're moving up the ladder of suppressing the lower part of our being, which is our self, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we didn't open the door and let any devil come in that I know of, and I didn't see a devil come in behind me with a pitchfork. So where does the devil come from? The devil comes from us. We are it, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You're fighting against yourself. If you have a devil, then you've empowered him. There is no devil that God gives his energy or a shade to. We empower that negative force. And whenever you speak of good, you are narrowly spoken of evil. They exist in duality. So God didn't have to create a devil. It was created through the forces to be. Remember I told you about the 400 of the positive and forces that go forth on your orisha, then the 200 negative forces on your left side. Those need to be satisfied. So in order to get off the hook when it comes to being sick or to give you a break, you have to satisfy those negative foes. They exist in duality with good. And you create your own devil. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You create your own devil. And these 10 sets of wrongs that we're talking about, they come from us. We create these negative things in our life. However, but we're going to work on trying to kill that old man off, that lower half of our being, that old man that wants his way, that flesh. Yes, we had to come packaged in flesh, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, the creative made us with something that has enmity with the spirit. Everything that God made was good. So therefore, what is evil doing in the picture? Everything that God made was good. So therefore, what is evil doing in the picture? Evil is needed just as good as needed, ladies and gentlemen. As I told you, in order to get off the hook for doing something you have no business, evil shows up. It is a natural ordination. It must balance off the evil. And therefore, the sacrifice comes in. You must make a sacrifice to evil in order to ask it to let you off the hook. It is the oldest tradition of African teaching. Now, you won't find this in the Christian faith because they're going to tell you that a devil shows up. And boy, that devil has power, and he fights with God, and he comes against his people, and he will win, and he owns the earth, and we're going to have to put up with it. That's a lie. We don't have to put up with it. No, he doesn't own the earth. Right now, if we empower those forces to be, then we give him the authority. But we withhold the power from him and allow good and excellence to go forth. He cannot exist in that presence. But if we allow enough hatred, bitterness come out of us, he can exist. Even the preacher. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, isn't that amazing? We create our own foe, our own enemy. There is no devil, but we create that evil in us that rises up against our spirit. Didn't you know it? That the spirit and the flesh has enmity with each other. They're constantly at war with each other. You're seen against your worst nightmare. There is not something out there that's trying to get you or something like the boogeyman trying to get you or do something to you. It is yourself because this flesh that we were packaged in is wicked. It's desperately wicked, ladies and gentlemen, and who could know it? The heart is desperately wicked. That was written in the scriptures. If you book and you can read it for yourself. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Stop telling people that the devil made you do it. And stop running around here looking for that foe to get you. The foe that you're looking for is right with you and inside of you. And will exist there until you show foes of evil enough reason to balance itself for good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into this topic. We're going to get ready to go into our talking here in just a minute. But I am going to ask permission to speak for my elders, and then I'll get right into the subject. Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, you do have permission to speak.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to commercial right now because we have such a hot topic here. We're going to get ready a little bit earlier, and I'm going to go and come back to you with the Black African Pledge, something that we haven't did in a while. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, and you know. But before I do that, let me get a drum roll. I haven't heard those drummers out here. Where are the drummers? Elder, will you tell the drummers to please come in?
Please come on in.
All right, here they come. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're transforming ourselves from glory to glory. We're going from the physical to the natural. As we transition from the latter, I think it's getting better. You would not be the same person upon 29 days. Not to be a God. Will that God show up in you today, ladies and gentlemen? Let's work on bringing and pressing the God forward because we know that his essence is in all of us. He exists. He lives. He lives. I know my Savior lives. He lives in me because his essence was placed in me. But we have to press him forward with all our might and with all of our power. We're going to press that God head forth so we can go out of here looking like gods. Not the God that created the universe, but the God with the little g with the big head that's full of wisdom. We're going to press that God forward. And remember in the scriptures it says, the things that God does, we too shall be able to do them. So once you become a God, don't just show up looking good with the big head full of wisdom, but do the things of the Father. Let signs and wonders follow them that believe. Then we will begin to see great things that come up after us. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for station identification because we know it is the power of faith that gives us the ability to become gods.
In the wind and the
Yes, it is the power of faith, ladies and gentlemen, that gives us the ability to rise up over ourselves, to rise up from our flesh into the spirit realm. Let's get prepared to go into the talking cure, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to ask the elf to give us a prayer before I get purified and go into the sanctuary. Elder, will you give us a prayer, please?
Our Father, which art in heaven, we come with bowed heads and humble hearts. We compassion in you. Thank you for the many blessings that you stored upon us. Father, as the word goes forward today, we pray and we hope that if we would take this knowledge and apply it to ourselves and share with others. We ask your blessing upon our listening audience today. We ask you to open up the minds and hearts of all of us with our understanding as the knowledge go forth. And we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we say amen and amen.
Thank you, Elder, for the prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet. We are now ready for the purification. And Baba has already set the purification out for me, so I'm going to begin the process. The purification is ready as I go over to purify myself. I pour libations to the west. I pour libation to the north. I say Ashe. I pour libation to the east. Ashe. And I pour libation to the west. Ashe. I pour libation to the ground. And I say, so be it. Let the ground be set. Let the ground be fertile, so that as the word hits the ground will be fertile enough to take root, and the word will spring up in the hearts of the many men and women. I set a candle before me for my mother's people. May they have light, and may they be guided back home safely. I set a glass of water before me for my mother's people. May their thirst be quenched. May they forever be saturated with water. I set a candle before me for my father's spirit. May this light guide them through the journey of the middle passage and all the way back home. And may their energy forces follow through with the light and find its way back home. I set a glass of water for my father's people. May their thirst be quenched, and may they forevermore be satisfied. As we begin to call on the ancestors, calling on the ancestors is a ritual and a tradition of the Africans. It is not something spooky, nor is it a ritual of evil doing. All that the ancestors do and taught us was good, just as the things that God has laid before us. We should never forget about our customs and traditions. We should never call witchcraft voodoo. We should never call juju taboo or pagan. These are our heritage, ladies and gentlemen. Do not become spooked out and become evasive about your own things. What we do here in this room are good for the family, and what we indicate to you are optional. There is no one mandating that you do any of these things, but we must require that you keep traditioning. Ladies and gentlemen, you may take out your list of your family members. At this particular moment, you can participate in this particular old heritage, old tradition. You can participate now as I call on my ancestors. I'd like to call on Shane Lilly, the papa, the great-grandfather of the Elvis family. I'd like to call on Tommy Pete Harvey. I'd like to call on Clara Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. I'd like to call on Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Nisha Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Essie Lee Pope, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I'd like to call on Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. I'd like to call on Tom Harvey, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. I'd like to call on Michael Harvey, Ashe. So be it, so let it be done. Ancestors, you have been requested to come home again. Come home and to commune with us today. We have asked you to allow us to tap into your energies. We thank you for hearing our request. Ladies and gentlemen, as you take deep breaths now, breathing in and out, quieting your spirit, breathing in the oxygen of God, breathing out the carbon dioxide of death. We know that we can become immortal after Iwapele, after eldership, and then transitioning into an ancestor. It is for us to remember that death is not a bad thing, but it is a transition into a new life. Transition yourself and position yourself. Because ancestors have been calling you. They have been calling you, letting you know that you must make your transition. You must make the transition home. That is one appointment you will never miss. We all must leave these bodies, and we all must transition into something called reincarnation. Our newborn babies are reincarnated into our bloodline. Our bloodline is great, it's a strong one. And remember, as we take these deep breaths, we allow the ancestors to let us tap in to their energies. As you tap into the energy, remember that melanin is real. Melanin vibrates even unto the brain. Energy cannot die, nor can it be created, nor dissipated. It can only be re-tapped. It is the energy, gentlemen. Now tap into the energy of melanin. Get the energy of melanin to you for your antitoxin, to heal yourself. Tap in for the benefit of AIDS. Tap in for the benefit of cancer. It is available to you. Apply yourself. Breathe in and breathe it out. Understanding as we begin to meditate, we're allowing our higher self to speak to us. And you're putting a bond at this time. There's no bond out of the atmosphere coming to get you. Stop putting a bond all your life. He or she is all. person inside of you will begin to demand and affirm things in your life. God said, command you me. Now command God within you. God all alone, and that God has never left you. How can God leave you if he dwells within your spinal cord, your penile gland? How can God leave you? He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. Omnipresent. Omnipotent. Omniconscious. All you need to do is reach down and emerge and bring that God in up in you. There's no other God coming in the outer courts of heaven. They have given you dominion over this earth and told you to subdue it. What are you doing? Down on your knees, acting like a second-class citizen. Oh, no. Ye are thy little children, and ye have overcome them. Stand up to your feet. God command a thing. God confirm a thing. Now do what God do. Go out into the vineyard and claim a land. Claim your Africa back again. Go out into the vineyard and go and work a field. The land has been given back to the people. Can't you see it? God has already made it ready for you. You're going to have houses that you didn't even build with your own hands. So what? The wicked are now laid up in the chest. Go out, claim those avenues. Go out, claim those landmasses. They're yours, ladies and gentlemen. They're yours just for the asking. And your ancestors are waiting for you to come home. They've been calling you back to Timbuktu. The ancestors are calling you back to Djibouti. Your ancestors are calling you back to the pyramids, back to the tomb that they lay in. Your ancestors are calling you now to come back home. What is this fear I hear that you have of Africa? Is it some bush country, you say? Or is it some undeveloped land? It's your land. Now possess your land. Lay claim on it. Take back what was yours. The people from all over the world coming to this land. But why are you over here? You're whole and you're free now. You've been confirmed for this time. Of course.
I'm
Truth, you will hear these things again and other people's room. That means it's an affirmation, a confirmation. Embrace it and know that you are the new gods. Yes, you have been gods for a long time now. You just didn't know it because you were asleep, anesthetized, down under, in the deep, deep water. When you bring yourself up, and if, normally what you're dealing with now is an illusion. It isn't real. But when you go under the water and go into the spirit realm, that is where you're burying yourself to see the true existence of what's happening. Yes, we will confirm what is happening in the spirit, as prophets normally do, as evangelists normally do. We will confirm, as spiritualists normally do. We'll be saying and speaking on one accord. Why are there so many people that are trying to stay in the flesh, who don't want to lose these bodies, who want to stay captive in these bodies? Why are there so many people that believe that they can go up into the atmosphere and have a heaven? Why are there so many people that are afraid to have a heaven down? Why are there so many people that don't want to beat the flesh down, want to give the flesh everything it wants? Why are there people that don't understand we're living in illusion? This flesh is not real. What is real is only spirit. Spirit is something that you can't know until you allow yourself to let go and let God. God is pure spirit, pure ratified. No, you cannot exist within God's presence because he's ratified and he will smither you to pieces. But you can sit and commune with God on a daily basis. As I take you through the walking through, you can begin to speak things to God and to talk to your higher self because he's omnipotent, omniconscious, omnipotent, meaning he's everywhere and he's in all places. That is because he's within you. If this so-called God was not in you already, he would not be able to go everywhere with you. He is your Ori, ladies and gentlemen. It was foretold of by Oromala. Oromala is our African prophet, and don't forget it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me go on, and I would like to read to you Black African Family Pledge. We don't want to forget about that. The Black Family Pledge. Because we have forgotten our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path our ancestors cleared, kneeling in perilous underground. Our children cannot hear us when we are crying. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering, our befuddled children give birth to children they have neither for or understanding of. Excuse me. Because we have forgotten how to love the adversity and within our gates and hold up the mirror of the world shouting, regard the loneliest. Therefore, we pledge on this day, ladies and gentlemen, to bind ourselves to one another, to embrace one's loneliest, to keep company with our loneliest, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, to clothe our ragged, and to do all manners of good things, and knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. Ladies and gentlemen, in fact, we are our brothers and sisters. In honor of those who toil in the perilous gods with golden tongues and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of hopeless desolation, we make these pledges today here on this Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, make affirmations and pledges to yourself periodically so that you will remember that you are not your own and that we have been bought with a price. And as we begin to understand that there is a debt to pay, we begin to humble ourselves and be quick to break to our knees so that when we become before our elders will know that we can dobale them and give homage to them. Ancestors, I'd like to read you something about the dead coming to the earth. The Ikun, what do they say about them? They say the body is dead, but they keep living. They say the body is gone back to the earth, but the spirit just keeps moving. Iba ye ye, iba ba ba oruru, mojuba igungu, mojuba igungu. As surely as Ia makes the wind to blow, and as surely as the storms bring changes, all life cycles must transform. It rains as surely as the ocean. We say the ocean runs deep. The Ikan, they walk again. We say dead do not sleep. If you don't take care of the ancestors exactly, how do you expect them to care for you? Then you are then out there in this madness in the world, and then it's unjustified. Exactly how do you expect them to care for you? What are you going to do if you do not take care of the ancestors? Ye baba room, mojuba ugungu, mojuba igungu. Now we can go to our gods, the Orishas. All that is necessary, all of that is cool. But don't forget about the ancestors, lest you become a damn fool. It's just like my Ile Losha says to you, that you become a damn fool. You are an ancestor who's come back to walk again. So when you go to the ancestors, my sister and my brother, it's with yourself that you began the work. Now, I think that this is deep. I think that this is truly profound, and there's no time left for nonsense, no time for fooling around. They say we are the closest to the ancestors. They want us to succeed. So I break to my knees in a heartbeat. So we fall down to the ground, and we revere and honor the dead. Yes, it's true. We say, yeah, yeah, Toby, Baba Toby, just what do you want us to do? Iba, yeah, yeah, Iba, yeah, yeah, Iba, Baba, Iba, Modu, Mojuba, Igungu, Mojuba, Igun. They say honor and respect the ancestors, all those that have come before. They say, build the dead a house and open up the door. They say, honor and respect the shores of home, they say. Honor those that survived the middle passage and their souls were left to roam. They say, honor and respect the ancestors. And they say, honor and respect Iba Yeye and Iba Baba, which are starting with yourself. Starting with all those you cannot see, who prays on your behalf deep down in the middle of the night. Elevate all those strong spirits that never once gave up the fight. Iba ye ye, Iba baba, Iba oru, mojuba egungu. So we build the dead a house, and we dress and bless the shrine. We invite our people to the earth to come by. And then we open up our minds. We light a candle for our mother's people. And we light a candle for our father's people, too. Then we see the heads faithfully. That's what we have to do. We pray for Iwapelu, good character and good conduct, each and every day. And then we open up the earth to commune with the ancestors. And then we open up our minds. We light a candle for our mother's people and our father's people, too. Then we feed the heads faithfully. That's what we have to do. We pray for good care conduct each and every single day. Then we sit down and be quiet and listen to what the ancestors have to say. When the time comes, we make a mask and a robe with ginger every single day. Then we sit down to be quiet and listen to what the ancestors have to say. And when they say what we listen to the ancestors, what they have to say. When the time comes, we make a mask and a robe with ginger and beautiful cloth. We invite the dead to walk again. What a magnificent parade. Iba ye ye, Iba baba, Iba olurum, Moju ba egungu, moju ba egungu. Iba ye ye, iba baba olugu. Moju ba egungu, moju ba egungu, moju ba egungu. Iba ye ye, iba baba. Moju ba egung, moju ba egung. Ladies and gentlemen, if we forget the ancestors, we become a damn fool. If someone tells you, forget about the ancestors and forget about the dead, then we're forgetting about our mothers and our fathers, our uncles, grandparents. We will not be smart or wise when it's time to call on them for help. We break to our knees in a heartbeat, ladies and gentlemen, whenever we have to honor and do a dobale, which is when you break to your knees, it's called dobale. And that means you honor and pay homage to them. Don't be a damn fool. Acknowledge who the ancestors are. They're the closest thing to God. And if you want to become godlike, and if you want to become godly, allow yourself to commune with ancestors. I didn't say worship. I said commune. Feed their heads and prepare a table before them and give them water and substance. And they will be pleased with you, and it will go well with you. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for going all the way in the talking queue with me. And I sort of hope that as I teach you these things, you begin to understand what exactly is the Yoruba belief and what we believe in and how we intend to make sure that people know what we stand for, what we believe in. And I just want to tell you that the ancestors, we do believe that they will walk again, and that's why we believe in reincarnation. We act out a part of creating a house, and we build that house for the ancestors in a parade. We dress it to make it look like a house for the ancestors for when they come home. We believe that they will come back again, even though that you appear to think that they're the walking world. Believe they will come back again. And therefore, we prepare tables and we feed them so that they will have strength and so that they can help us and they can support us in our weak state. You can't do anything in your own strength. We all are weak in our own strength, but we become empowered. Those who know scriptures, that's what the Christians say, have power. I say those who know ancestors and take care of the ancestors have power. That's what I say. And this is coming from According to Omi. And it doesn't necessarily express the views of Blog Talk or Project 2019. But for those of you who snicker and laugh about ancestors and think that somebody might be Bush people or way out there sometimes when you hear them say the word ancestors or you see them break to their knees to pay homage, somewhat like myself, don't think it's dumb and don't think it's silly, because it's very important that you understand that the ancestors are the closest thing to God. Begin to take up a study. Now, what exactly do the Yoruba believe, and what is it that we believe? What is it that we believe? The Yoruba believe that there is one, ladies and gentlemen, there's no devil, as I told you, except for the day you were born and the day you are supposed to die. Those days have been written down. There's not a single day that has been written down in your life that can be forecast. The Yoruba believe that they can know all things through consulting with Oromola. He knows your inception of your death, and he knows your inception of your end. So you can consult Oromola to get a forecast on your life, even the forecast on your life for death. And that cannot be escaped. However, we can make some necessary changes if necessary. On after death, the reincarnation, therein lies reincarnation. Spirit cannot die. It has to live on in life. Okay, it may take on another form. So therefore, we believe in reincarnation. Anybody who doesn't believe in reincarnation, that's their business. However, but it can be justified and it can be confirmed. Okay, you are born with a specific path, ladies and gentlemen. And the divination serves as a roadmap to your path. That is why we do divinations every 4 days, to get a road map to our life and direction for our life. Our ancestors exist and must be honored. We believe that. And they must be respected. Nourishes forces are of nature. They are nature forces, and you, as you hear me mention in this class. And they live within us and deal with the affairs of men. That's why we honor the Orishas, Obatala, Shango, Legba, Ishun, and so on and so on. And we honor those Orishas, and there's seven of them that we acknowledge. You must never serve initiates harm to anyone or to one another. You must never do that, and be to any being or to any universe or nature force, okay, which you are part of. We're all a part of the nature force and the spirit. We're part of the spirit and the physical and mental, emotional realms of our spirit. The existence must work balance, and that's why when you speak of evil, you've spoken of good. They must work together to create a balance. And that is a balance of sacrifice guarantees success. If we balance things out, it will guarantee success. That is why you see that in the Bible laws where they make a sacrifice or they make an OB to the evil side to satisfy him for the success of guaranteeing balance in your life. What do you ever reject? And these are the things we reject. That we were born into sin and shaped in iniquity. We do not believe that. We do not believe that the European civilized the African and Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Those are our beliefs. And let me get right into our topic, ladies and gentlemen. And I said I was going to tell you about those 10 areas that can cause you some harm. Now, we might not get finished with all of this today, but I want to get started on the topic. The 10 sets of truism based on the tree of life, and this is upon the almond. I live expecting neither gain nor loss, pain nor pleasure from the things I need in life because my nature is essential, unconditioned. That which is myself has no like, dislike, preference, or predetermined emotional or thoughts, responses to situation. I am extremely unconditioned. I cultivate my happiness through spirit, and I'm reading to you from Rana Nefer on page 226, and I exist unconditioned. I cultivate my happiness through spiritual development. I understand that happiness is not a continuous freedom from pain resulting from difficulties. Nothing can make me feel pleasure or pain. They are all under the control of my will, which derives as a freedom from my essential nature. I am not this, not this, not this. I am that. I am successful in the cultivation of my spirit, to establish and maintain inner peace, independence of external condition. Now, let me pause on that. Irregardless of what external forces are going on around us, we are called to maintain inner peace. Our inner peace is what we have control over. If you can maintain peace in the midst of chaos around you, you're learning to govern yourself. And the main thing that we have control of is our faculties. As we learn to govern our own spirit, this is a task. This is a skill of our men. I am successful in the cultivation of my spirit to establish and maintain inner peace independently of external conditions. My inner peace is too important to be held ransom, to factor outside of my control. It is sources of my spiritual power. Then what then are those 10 things that cause us to be lesser gods? What then can stop us from becoming a god? We must remember, ladies and gentlemen, the things that cause you to become a god. You've got to transcend, number one, from the physical man into traveling up the tree of life from a being, from the lower extremity, which is your faculties, the things that you have need of, the possession that you have need of, and wants. You have to give up wants, ladies and gentlemen. You have to give up the desire. Your desire is what burns you. Your desire is what causes you to commit sin. When you talk about hell here on this earth, you can create desire so famished and so hot that it could burn off extremities and kill off. You must lose up for desires, ladies and gentlemen. And you must be able to see that it is our desires that keep us from becoming a god. You must try to have wants. Your daily bread must be enough for you, your existence. God said that he will give you your daily bread. Know that the faith you have been given, the measure of faith, is enough to believe for all that you need. And when you've been given that daily bread, don't squirrel and complain about, I need more, more. And then you go and stockpile and squander for more and more. The more things you've been given to manage, the more responsibility you have. And remember, you're just a steward over these things. We don't own. And when we see our big, rich athletes and our people getting rich and getting things, we must understand that they have to be good stewards over those things. And then if they can only wear one pair of shoes at a time, and they must understand that it is very difficult for a rich man to get to heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get to heaven, so say the mutilated Bible. And then what then are we forcing and fighting for here on this earth to have material things if we know we can't experience heaven, if we gather up all these things and stockpile them, then something's wrong. Very well be hustling and getting more and more stuff and become materialistic and thinking this is heaven. This can't be heaven. The heaven that the Creator was speaking of is to be free in your mind, not to have large sums of quantities of material things. Those are the things that don't free us up. Our freedom is the first thing that we are aiming for, to be free from these bodies that hold us captive. These cages called jails, our human bodies, is what holds us captive. As we come away from need and want, we become more freer. Then we can get out of that house, transition out and lock the door, travel and leave our dwelling that we placed them in the hands of the Almighty, and they'll be there when we come back, knowing that now that we are free to use our will to do things, to position ourselves outside to extend help. Now, number two, after you've given up material things and desires, number two, you want to make sure that you know yourself, and that is to understand that you're God's. And you got to believe that you're God's and that God would not have lied to you and breathed his breath into you. You were created. You were not made. Created and made is two different processes. You make something, you take a substance from the earth to create it, to make it. We were created from nothingness. Nothingness from God's breath, his essence. But if you take a substance from the ground to make it, it was created. You must understand that as we begin to understand that our true nature here on this earth was to know experience for God. God could not know experience. He built this earth, but guess what, ladies and gentlemen? He could not partake of the goodness of the habitat. Because, you know what, God would not defy his own laws. He gave us dominion over this earth. So, therefore, he could not even partake of the good substance that were here. That's you and I, so he can know experience through us. Some of us of shaming God with the experience of a life that we're presenting to him. We have to understand that these bodies are not ours. You know, we are not ourselves. We are not our own. And therefore, we have to be very careful of what we're doing, and we don't want to offend God. So this is what keeps us from becoming a God, when we keep continuously abusing the body and offending God. Now, we must also understand that Nikita Khrushchev said one thing, that you don't have to worry about the world coming to an end. It will self-destruct from immorality. It will self-destruct from greed, materialistic, and that's exactly what it's doing. The more people get, the greedier they get, the more they want, and the higher zeal and zest for self-destructing in the body. If you continue to tear down the body and mutilate the body, God cannot dwell in an unclean vessel. So how can God show up if your vessel is unclean? You're polluting it with alcoholic beverages, with nicotine and cigars and cigarettes. You're polluting it with controlled substances, pharmaceutical drugs. But yet you still say you're saved, and you go to church and you're saved, sanctified, and sealed with the Holy. But yet God will not dwell there. How could you say you're becoming a God? God will not dwell there. Your vessels have got to be clean. You've got to give those things over. We're trying to create a person that has no need or want. As you give those things back and depend solely on the pleasures of the soul and the peacefulness of the mind of the spirit, those are the things that stop you. That's three of the things that stop you from being a God. Now, let me also say this to you. Vanity and vainness and taking any factors and making it into a God. When you put anything before God, your car, my job, my purse, my Louis Vuitton, God said he was a jealous God, and no, he would not stand for any man to be before him. And that goes for things and substance. So we cannot make these things into God because he's a jealous God. Now, another thing you have to understand is that you have to be able to give of yourself and give of yourself whatever. You will know what a man's God is by virtue of what he put his time into. Time is of essence. You don't want to waste valuable time. All of us are wasting time all of the time. I'm at the Steppers Club. I'm going to spend all my weekends at the Steppers Club. You don't have any time to explore knowledge and truth. You don't have any time to break bread with a brother or sister, to go over some research or some written material, because you're out satisfying and gratifying the flesh. You've got to keep bringing the old man up under subjection. You've got to tell the flesh no. And you, the next one is balance. You got to have order and balance. You got to balance the time that you spend with your wife. You can't make that TV your wife. You can't be sitting in front of the TV set every day that you come home and you act like your wife is a coat hanger, a coat rack. You walk in the house and drop your coat in her hands, and you keep on going to that refrigerator, putting that pop out or that beer or that alcohol, and then you flop right in front of the television set, and now here's your God, because you're putting all the attention in that tube. You barely say 2-3 words to her. How you doing? Hey. Honey, how's your day? What do you mean, how's my day? I'm watching the game. Talk to me later. Later never comes around. You come rolling up in that bedroom to that God who's been waiting for you. She done turned her back to you. She turned a coldness to you and a gentleness. You're sitting there tapping her on the shoulder, and she's in another land of Delta Land, and you you wake up the next morning and said, you know, why wouldn't you, you wouldn't wait when I got here? First of all, your time has got to be balanced. Yes, yes, yes. You got to get that calendar out. You got to remember when the birthdays are, when the anniversaries are, and you got to be involved with the bill paying. You can't give her the checkbook and say, here, you handle all of it. You don't know what's being paid, when it's being paid, and she's got a small amount of money that you are giving her, and she's trying to put everything together and make ends reach where they don't, were never intended to reach, and you don't have any concerns about it. Well, you do the best you can. Well, just figure out how to pay it. If you can't pay this one this week, pay that. No, down with your wife. Because remember, you got to treat your wife like the church. Sit down with her. Negotiate on what bills have to be paid. If necessary, ask if the children are not still young, if she can get a part-time job. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to mean a full-time job, but a part-time job if she's still in the childbearing stage and that childbearing is keeping her out of the workforce. It's okay for her to get a part-time job to help, to make ends meet. Now, another thing, man, don't let her work and make the most money, and you let her pay all the bills, and you look for a job as if it's a profession, looking for a job. Somebody walk in the house and they say, ooh, the house sure is lovely. And you say, oh, yeah, yeah, my wife bought this and my wife bought that. My wife gonna buy this. And then they look at you and say, oh, you still job hunting? Yeah, I'm still job hunting. You can't get a job in that city and there's no income coming in, pack the family up and move somewhere where you can get a job, or go get a job and then send for the family. Don't let her do all the work. Don't let her work herself down, and then when she comes home, she is so exhausted, she looks at you as if you ought to understand, and you still putting her to work when she comes home, asking her to get in the kitchen and fix you some tea. And she looks at you as if, why didn't you have her something to eat fixed when she came home? Some of this nonsense can be resolved. God can't show up in the middle of all this nonsense that we're carrying on. We can't. So much nonsense, and we go to the church and we lay it on the altar every Sunday, and then we go beg God to fix it. God don't want to hear no begging from us, because you're the only one to fix it. He didn't. He said you was a God. What more can he do? He's not going to step in there and fix anything. He has given you all the tools to function as a God and told you you was God. I mean, he wrote it throughout the scriptures. You're God, little children. You're God, little children. You've overcome the church. You've overcome the world. Then fix things that are in your life. Don't go wasting time telling the preacher all your business and crying out to the church, and every week you're on the altar, take me now, Lord, or I'll sin again. I don't know how we're going to fix it this time. You've got to constantly remember that you fix things by not sinning unto death. And if there's something wrong, you take the time to fix it. That's another bad thing. We have a problem with letting things go. By default, things will become broken or they'll be irreparable. You got to fix things before they become irreparable. If a doorknob comes off, if you don't fix the knob, it won't be soon before that hinge of that door will come off. Then you wonder, what happened to that door? Because you haven't taken the time to attend to the little things. Same way with the woman. Attend to the little things. She is your God. She's the closest thing you will get to a God. When you see her and you come home, say, hello, God, I love you. Treat her like a God. Admonish her with gifts and accolades. Bring her presents. Slip little things up under her pillow. Surprise her at the dinner table. Tell her that you mean the world to me and I love you and you're my queen. And anything that I can do for you today to make your life go well, just let me know. And did anybody bother you today or say something to you that wasn't right? Let me know. I will vindicate you. Man, you got to be heroes to women. You got to be their heroes, and they'll do anything in the world for you. They'll see you as their God, and they'll bow down to you if they have to. But they shouldn't have to. They should stand side by side you, and they should admonish you, and you have to be each other's best friend. We got to get our relationships right. We got to stop spending 30-some-odd years with women who have been over backwards to do everything they know in their power to create a good environment in their home and then go and create a good name in the workforce. We got to start understanding that when they come home, that every now and then you can have sabbatical. You can take that woman away from that environment of work. You can arrange for a hotel stay overnight at the hotel or dinner and go to a star event where they can see entertainers. You can arrange for that. I don't care how much money you spend in for budget. Cut something back so that you can have time for leisure. Every now and then you can make up for those times you're not spending with that woman and letting her know she's special. Buying her roses right before she goes to the show, making her feel like a queen. If she really is your queen, why are so many men talking about, oh, you're my queen, and they're singing these songs, and these women are wondering, who are they talking to? Because they're not treating us like queens. They're not coming correct. Women will work hard, come home and lay on her back, take care of the children. She will do just about anything. And if a woman has turned bitter, guess what? Some man. Because when she comes to you and after she's fallen in love with you, it's nothing that she wouldn't do for you. So we're going to have to find men that are really dedicated and men of their craft. You have to get on your craft again, learn how to court and how to flirt your women. Because when you get them, they are looking for you to sustain them. They are looking to you to affirm them. They are looking to you to be their stabilizer, their psychological stabilizer and their physical stabilizer. Don't have children that you don't take care of. Don't have children that you know need to be put on your medical insurance and their regular medical checkup. Make sure you're doing right by them because it will go well with you. Don't say, it's not my responsibility now that they're grown and I'm no longer with that woman. Do for that child. Do everything you can for that child in your power because when you get old and gray-haired and have to go off in a nursing home, guess what? You won't be able to call that child to come bring you a glass of water. It's important that we understand that we're gods and we got to act like gods. God stepped into a place. He sensed what's not right. And they don't have to be running up behind them saying, Jesus, we're not ran out of wine because you make some more wine. If you were God, you walk up to this place, you say, I think we're going to need a couple more kegs of wine. Order up some more wine. So let's take authority. Take authority. That's what's wrong with a large portion of us. We don't know the power we have. And if you're already God, take authority. When you take authority, you're not scared. You're a warrior. You step up to the plate. And I'm telling you, Jesus wasn't no milk toast boy. Jesus had muscles that rolled back. And when he walked in a place, his presence was known. He took authority. When you take authority, people know it's something not right. Let me go back and get over R. Kelly. He's going to take authority up in here. He's going to set it up, set it off in here. That's what you have to do as God. Because when you go places, people don't have to know you because you're noisy and loud. But the aura and the presence you present will let people know that you speak with authority. Like when you speak, people are going to take notice. You have to be assured in your spirit about who you are. You cannot second guess your character and who you are. If you say you're God, don't be telling somebody you're God and then you cringing down and you looking more like the ant instead of the God. You got to look like God. Don't just brag at the mouth, I'm a God, see, I'm a creator. Don't nobody have to know you're God. It's what you do that makes you a God, not what you say. Your words are powerful anyway. And if your words are powerful, your words won't return into you void. And God said he would watch over his word to perfect them. Therefore, he's going to watch over your word because you and God are working together cooperatively on one accord. What God say, you should get it. God is saying the same thing to you. Whatsoever you say in my name, I will watch over that substance or that statement, and I will confirm it. And it won't come, it will come to pass, and it won't be returned to you void. Now, I'm going to speak some words over the audience today. I'm going to speak some words over the audience as a God. I'm going to take dominion. I know my place, and I know my position in Christ. I am a God, if you haven't noticed that. Omi Inka is a god. I'm one of the gods, if you didn't notice that. That's why I speak in a manner that I do, and I take authority because I've been given authority. You have to know your place in God. You have to know your place in God and know that you and him labor together. And you got to have to get on your knees in the midnight hour when everybody's asleep. And you're going to have to wrestle with God about things. That's right. And you have to ask God, didn't you promise me? He said, my promises are yea and nay to you. Then you're going to have to remind him. He said, remind me of my promises I've made to you. Remind me. Sometimes I don't remember. Tell me what it is that I promised you. And you call the promises back to God that he made to you. Didn't you tell me? Yes, I will affirm it. Yes, I will affirm it. And as he begins to affirm what it is, confidence. Now let me speak the things over this audience. As I know the time is coming up on an end to us, we are now getting ready for the United States of Africa. I'm going to speak over this audience that we are going to become into our own, and we'll become gods, and those who know that they're gods are getting ready to travel. And they're going to be traveling off into a far-off land, the homeland of Africa. They're going to be called upon to do great things. Houses are already going to be laid up for you. You have no need to build anything. They've already been built. It's already been known and foretold that you were coming because there's work for you to do. And this has already been laid out. As the United States of Africa is laid down, they will have need of real gods. And if you say you're God, if you say you're God, you're going to Africa. There's no doubt about that, because God has needs of God over in Africa, and there's much work that has to be done. This thing has been planned out by some of the hierarchy, and they're busily putting it together now. There's free land there, too, ladies and gentlemen, so you don't have to worry about how can I purchase this, how can I afford it. It's all been taken care of. Where God gives a vision, he gives provision. The vision has been laid. Write the vision, and he that readeth them, let him run with it, for the vision is for the appointed time. Now, those things that I told you that keep you from being a god, you got to let up off of them. You got to start calling things that be not as though they were. You may not be walking in the Godhead just yet, but in due time, as you begin to affirm what it is that God has called you to do, don't shrink back from it, because God will vindicate you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because God will vindicate you. He's already sent his army. Nobody's going to bother you, but you will need protection. Don't go anywhere. The answer is to tell you. I don't care how big of a god you are. I don't care how big and bad you think you are. Don't go anywhere without the sanction of the ancestors and giving them homage and asking them to go before you to make the crooked places plain, because you're going into a dangerous jungle. You're going into a habitat that you know nothing about. So ask the ancestors to lay ground so that there is blessings wherever you go. And begin to understand that you have the authority to bless a thing or to curse a thing. Don't be afraid to curse a thing and tell it to shrivel up and die. Don't be afraid to tell a thing to move out of your way or to dry up. Don't be afraid to part a river, because you have authority. Now you got to walk in that authority. That's our biggest problem, is walking in our authority and knowing our place in God. If you say you're God, speak and walk like a God and enter into the room with authority. You don't have to be loud and convulsive. Sit down and be a force to reckon with. Be a quiet force. And when the time comes for you to speak, everyone will know that you're God, because you will affirm a thing and it will come to pass. Now let the Godhead rise up in you. I know your God. You know your God. Now let that Godhead rise up in you. Don't be afraid, little children. You have overcome them. You're gods. And those 9 or 10 things that you have to work on, continue to work and killing off the old man. And the Spirit's going to rise up. And when the Spirit rises up in you, take control. Affirm and be a leader. And begin to understand that if you've been called to do something, the people will know it, because you will work with urgency and there will be a bit of expedient in your voice. People will affirm that you are God You won't have to confirm it. The people will do it for you. I know they will, and you know they will. Keep your head up, because, see, this thing that we're about to do, we're going to do it together. And when we get to the promised land, which is Africa, we're going to get there together. And I'm not just going to try to get there by myself. I'm planning on taking a lot of people with me when I go. And, yeah, this is the ultimate showdown at the lowdown, because we are going to get to heaven. And heaven is over in Ile Ife. I don't know if you know it or not, but it's waiting for us. And I'm going to play your agenda for you.
Revitalize our community.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's put some action where our mouth is. And we cannot begin to start speaking out and put action and force behind our voice. So let your mouth be able to cry loud and stir not, and lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show the house of Jacob their transgression. Now, take authority over a situation. Take authority in your children's lives. Take authority in your marriages. Take authority in your job, and stand firm. God will show up. I declare he will. He put a God on your head, which is your Ori. He's already with you. Just wake him up or wake her up and tell him we got to go out here and do a job. And don't be afraid, little children. Don't be afraid in your spirit. And fear ye not, for God is with you. Fear ye not, for Ori, your God, is with you. And if your God, you can overtake them. You can overtake them, Joseph. You can overtake them, Elijah. You know the stories of the scriptures. Walk boldly and don't be afraid, because you can get over the grain house, and we're going to get over the grain house. You watch and see. We're going to get over the grain house. There will be gods over the grain house once again. We will be getting authority, taking dominion, and it's not unusual for the darkest shades of people to be ruling. We once ruled before, and the Bible says that the Alpha, the Delta, and Omega, the last will be first, and the first shall be last. We will take dominion over our situation. We won't always be down in our trotting position, ladies and gentlemen. Lift up your head, O ye people. Take heart, I say. Take heart, I say, brave soldier. Lift up your head, because your redemption is near. You only need to confirm it in your heart and believe with your mind and soul, with all your mind and soul, believe that you're God. God has given you his essence, and you were created, not made. Therefore, he resides with you. And all that you need to do and need to say, you have it already in your existence. It's in your cosmic records. It's in your memory. It's in your third eye. Just remember who you were. Speak to yourself. Do you remember who you were way back then? Do you remember when we came through the middle passage, how we surpassed all the whippings and beatings, and how we got through and made it through? And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? They just gave us back pay, all the black farmers, reparations and jubilee this year. They just gave all the black farmers in that lawsuit their money. That's not too far off from the African Americans who have a bill right now existing on reparations. Don't tell me you don't want reparations. Don't shake your head and tell me we don't need it. We can do it on our own. This is something that our forefathers died for. It's our desire to get reparations for those who died in the Middle Passage, for us to be able to get on our feet again. It's our desire to get our reparations for the many lynchings that were done and the hardship that took place. No, it might not make it all right, but it's a step in the right direction. And as we begin to talk about reparation and the new Africa and the new Renaissance, ladies and gentlemen, you can join me for that topic next month, because we're going to put issues on the line and out here in the atmosphere that deserves to be talked about to make a change. A new church is supposed to make a change. We're not supposed to be in here talking about what Peter and Paul and John did. They've already taken care of that. Paul and Peter, I know, but who is the new church? The new church is the new people that are going over with the United States of Africa. Get ready for it, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready, because I'm going to bring it on strong with the summers. See you next week. We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Same time, same place. We're going to be here in this room, breaking bread together, providing the right knowledge and the right knowledge for God to come together collectively, shedding and spreading the word to the reader, not God. Act like God. Get up. Get up, holy people. Act like God. Stop scrambling around to help your feet. Like up your mighty race, you can accomplish what you will. Be ye a God. Oh, double.